Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. Today, I am very excited to have Lino Tadros, who is the chairman and CEO of Falafel Software and a longtime C-Sharp MVP. Lino, how are you today?
Hi, Jesse. How are you? It's a pleasure to be on your podcast. Thanks for having me.
It's very exciting having you here. Now, you and I met at a conference, I believe, not all that long ago. Was the first time we were in the same conference in Bulgaria?
In Bulgaria, yes. Maybe in the United States several times during Microsoft, but you're always running around meeting like thousands of people.
Yes.
But we finally got to spend some good time together in Bulgaria, which was fun.
All I remember is laughing nonstop.
Oh, that's the whole idea.
So start me off by telling me about Falafel Software.
Falafel Software is actually a consulting and training company based on .NET, and we have been available in the industry for the last 10 years. And we do a lot of Silverlight, a lot of Windows Phone, and for the last couple of years, we're doing a lot of iOS and Android development for customers as well, plus all the regular ASP.NET, AJAX, MVC, heavy database, an architecture of middle-tier systems. And the company has been very, very successful for the last 10 years. We have been very blessed. We have actually been one of the fastest-growing private companies here in the Silicon Valley for the last 5 years.
Well, that's very exciting, and I know that you're touching every aspect of the Microsoft stack in the work that you're doing. And do I understand correctly that the folks who work for you are dispersed? They're not all localized in the Silicon Valley?
Yes, we have a lot of presence here in the Silicon Valley. We're based actually in the Santa Cruz area in a city called Capitola here in the Bay Area. But we have offices in Colorado, in Texas, Florida, Michigan, and North Carolina. And we even have one employee in Canada right now. So this is a lot of fun. We have them all over the place, but they all come together once a quarter here in the offices, flying in to make sure everybody's on the same page and we can feed from each other and move forward, which has been going really well.
Well, I want to spend a fair amount of time getting into some details about Silverlight and Windows Phone programming with you. But before I do, tell me about the book that you just released.
We have our senior VP here in the company, Noel Rice, have been writing a book for the last maybe 6-7 months on the nuts and bolts of the Windows 7 Mango. So we're very, very excited about this book. We actually have been training based on this book for our training sessions, and also the employees here that have not really done any Windows Phone 7 have actually went through the courseware itself and learned the product from it. It has been available for sale on our website as a PDF download, and we have received really great reviews on the book, so we're very excited about it.
So the way that people get it is to go to your website, which we'll put on the page for this podcast, and download the PDF.
Yes, that is correct. You'll immediately get an email with a username and password where you can actually access your account and download the PDF automatically for the book. Yes, the book is actually a pretty big book, and it touches every aspect of the Windows Phone 7 Mango, including the cloud and SQL and everything that you can possibly do, give you a hint of actually how it's done, and the project file with the zip code shows you also pretty prepared projects for you to actually play with. It's actually the foundation for our training course, which is a 12-hour, 3-half-day course we do online. It's also the basis of that class is this book.
When is the next course starting up?
The next class is on February 22nd till the 24th. It's online from 9 to 1 Pacific time.
Okay, and we'll put a link to that as well on the page.
Thank you. Thanks, Jesse.
No problem. Sounds like you're touching a lot of very interesting aspects of both training and mentoring and creating the software on a contract basis.
Yeah. Actually, we have had customers actually for years, big Fortune 500 companies. And the niche that Falafel is in is now, it's not going to be something like we're going to go to a company from the first time and tell them, hey, we can create a Windows Phone 7 application for you. That's usually a hard sell, believe it or not, just to go introduce yourself as somebody who can write you a Phone 7 application. But if you already have a relationship with a customer and you have spent significant amount of money to create a full-blown ERP systems or medical systems for hospitals, mainly in Silverlight, and even for the government, we have done a lot of work with Silverlight. It is actually, believe it or not, it's an easy sell to add the final aspect of that to allow the back end to be accessible through a Phone 7, which is not saying writing the entire application from scratch, just there are some things that people wanted to get to into these applications from a phone. Not everything, but at least maybe 20-25% of the app needs to be accessible from a phone. So it's much easier sell when you have a good architecture to make it open through REST APIs or WCF, being able to make that portion of the application available through the phone.
And tell me about REST APIs in Silverlight.
Oh, yeah. We use it heavily, actually. It's our preferred way of doing web services, just because of the synchronization and the timing. And remember, most of our clients not only want to do Windows Phone 7, they also want to do the iPhone and the iPad and the Android. And believe it or not, they start with the iPhone, and then the second choice would be the Android. And now we see a lot more people want to go to the third part, which is the Windows Phone 7, which is definitely good for us. But to make this available through REST APIs makes it much easier for us to not having to rewrite or reinvent the wheel. All of them will be able to work with the REST APIs.
So let's define what a REST API is and why that makes it easier for you.
REST API is the idea of actually making a call through HTTP, for instance, from iPad or iPhone or Windows Phone 7, and making the call come back on a separate thread or a synchronized, actually, from the server. But it brings back an XML document that can actually be parsed, or a JSON that you can actually parse and do whatever you want, no matter what the framework is. In the old days, for instance, when we used to use web services like SOAP calls, these used to work just fine. But with the phones, unfortunately, if the call takes too much time, there is a potential that actually this call will go into la la land, and you will exceed the amount of seconds that will be allowed, for instance, by the Android operating system, and you will not be able to wait for the SOAP call to come back with the SOAP envelope. But with the REST APIs, it can come back, and you can actually give you the XML document or the JSON, for instance, to be able to parse it and do whatever you want with it. So it's much, much better way, I believe, to do it, especially now also doing things with OData. The OData works great as well, but not everybody will be able to maybe implement it for one reason or another, and they already have a REST API, so either way works pretty well on the phone, especially with Windows Phone 7.
And can you use Entity Framework as the design model for...
Oh, yes. Most of actually these projects are using the Entity Framework 4.1, and we're using it on most of these projects. For instance, we have about 135 different hospitals running on the East Coast, running Silverlight app developed using the Entity Framework, and the data that needs to be retrieved, for instance, on the phone is definitely accessing the Entity Framework, yes.
So let me take you down a somewhat controversial area, which is MVVM.
Yes.
And we've certainly spoken to a number of people who believe strongly that that helps improve the quality of their code and the maintainability of their code. And we've spoken to some folks who feel that the overhead of MVVM is just too high. What's your experience been with MVVM?
It's an excellent question. This discussion happens a lot here and actually internally even in the company. And it all depends on what you're trying to do. If you're trying to create a small app like Hello World app, yes, MVVM would be an overkill. But unfortunately, we never get to write these Hello World except in demos. But in real life scenarios, MVVM is definitely a very good way of thinking about Silverlight and Windows Phone 7 development. We actually even use it in all other development. Believe it or not, we use MVVM even with the iPhone and the Android development as well. The idea behind spending a little bit extra time to do a serious separation between the model, the middle tier code for the view models, and your views is definitely going to pay off, especially when you have multiple people working on the same project for a long time and for maintainability of the code for the long run. So I definitely recommend for people that have not really played with the pattern for MVVM to take a look at it. There is tons of stuff, and I'm sure you've done a lot of things on that, Jesse, as well, from your wonderful videos on Silverlight. So it's definitely something people really need to consider to actually do this MVVM for all projects, because nothing ends up being a Hello World at the end of the day.
That's always true. Now, do you use one of the MVVM frameworks?
No, actually, we don't. But we have people here in the company that do. Personally, I don't. But I know several people here use different things. So we try not to actually put people in a box. Once we meet with the customer and we explain what's available for the different MVVM frameworks out there, they get to see what is the closest thing that will get traction. And sometimes these customers have engineers on the team that are very comfortable with a specific MVVM framework, and we will definitely go with that. We do not really push anything on any of our customers if they already have the expertise in one of them as well.
Now, I know that your group developed expertise in what was being called Mango, is now called Windows 7.5. I know that you developed that expertise pretty early. Can you tell us a little bit about what's new in 7.5 and what you particularly like?
Yeah, there is. Oh, wow. Well, I thought we only had an hour, but that's okay. one of the applications that we really wanted to bring to market, Jesse, is called Event Board. An event board is an idea really targeting the conference organizers. Every single conference you go to, whether it's a small users group or a huge conference, one of the things is that it's so heavy on paper. People would like to actually get surveys, need to see the schedule. You have to go get the printed out schedule and all that. And it's 2012 already. Enough with that paper stuff. So what we did, we created the Event Board app, and it runs on the Windows Phone 7.5. And what it does, it actually uses the latest and greatest in that technology of Mango. So you, for instance, an organizer will enter all the data, or will make it available through an OData feed, for instance, and the system will automatically get it. So the system loads all the stuff from the from SQL Azure and runs the entire application in the cloud for the Azure cloud itself. And it has it automatically syncs in with the notification system based on the new Mango system. So if a session changes or a speaker change or whatever, you get the notification on the device right away. So all the different things that you can, the gestures, the animations, all the new cool stuff that we can actually use are being used in the system as well. We even use one of our partners, Controls from Telerik in Bulgaria, that we've met with them, just if you remember when we were there. They have a great tool actually for several components or controls for the Windows Phone 7, and we're using a lot of them in our application as well. The live tiles, for instance, you do not want to keep digging into your application on the phone to find out, for instance, specific information about something that you're interested in, maybe your favorites or the next session that you'd like to go to, or the latest and greatest that happened in the last session. All these can be created live on a live tile, for instance, on the system right away. The mapping and the push pins for how to get to the conference, all the restaurants around the conference that you can go visit, and a lot of things that you can do with ease. The thing that people have really liked lately is the survey, being able to, right after the a session, for instance, being able to send a survey directly from your phone, not only for the session, but for the old conference if you want to after the fact. So that was a lot of things that were put into this app. And as I said before, we have this app in Windows Phone 7.5, in iPhone, and in Android as well for people to choose whatever they have phone for.
And what is
for us?
I was just going to ask you what the app is called.
It's called Event Board.
Okay. So in addition to using Mango for Event Board, have there been other places where you found that the new 7.1 SDK, that is to say Mango, has changed the way that you're doing your Windows Phone programming?
I mean, the evolution of the framework and also the evolution also of the Azure cloud, both of them moving up day after day, makes it definitely easier for us to be able to scale our application. So it makes it very easy, for instance, if I know that VS Live, for instance, have purchased our product for doing all their conference here in the United States, and also TechEd Europe have actually used our products for the future as well for all their conferences. So when you have a conference to have 100 people, it's very different than having a conference that had 10,000 people. And it would be very easy, for instance, to get into the Azure cloud and increase the amount of CPUs and all that stuff in less than a minute to make sure that the whole system scale without you having to worry about hardware and so on. And the way all that stuff ended up just working between the Mango release, which is the framework for 7.1, and the Azure, definitely was a huge thing for us. It worked really, really well.
Tell me about getting started with Azure. What was the learning curve like there?
The learning curve was non-existent, because there was nothing really that you can go search the web on to find out how to do things. So I have to give credit to Microsoft by going to Microsoft in Redmond, and they have been really great in actually bringing it up to speed very early on, way before people knew how to spell the word Azure. So I was very fortunate in knowing that. We have people here in the company, John Waters, the president of the company, have dived into the Azure system and was able to grasp what's going on behind the scenes. And for the last couple of years, I'll say we have actually got to the point where we feel very comfortable consulting and actually recommending that system actually for major corporations all over the United States and in Europe as well.
Let me take you in a slightly different direction. I know that you do a fair amount of XNA programming. Can you tell me what that's like and what's involved with that?
Well, we have two two people in the company that love XNA programming from the old days, from OpenGL and DirectX, and now with XNA. And one of them is Noor Rice, actually the author of the book, so that's very close to his heart. I'm fortunately, I don't spend a lot of time on the XNA just because I have to put food on the table. No, I'm just kidding. There's a lot of fun things you can do with XNA, but it's not my thing. But I know people here have written games and try to do a lot of tricks on each other here in the company using the XNA programming for the Windows Phone. But honestly, from the latest that I've hearing from Microsoft, knowing what's going on with the Xbox for the future and all that stuff, I think everybody will probably sooner or later will need to learn how to develop with XNA. Don't you agree, Jesse?
Oh, I would think that you're going to see more and more of XNA usage. So, Lino, do you still get to code in your role?
Oh, yes. Yes, as much as my team doesn't want me to because of quality. No, I'm just kidding. No, I still do. I do a lot of actually work for Telerik, for Sitefinity products, for training, and also for consulting. I also do a lot of work for Silverlight and Windows Phone 7, trying to... you can train on something if you don't actually consult on it first, because otherwise you're just reading from a book. You really need to tell people what the tips and tricks and when you're going to hit the wall and so on. And the only way you can do that is by writing code day and night. So I'm still geeky.
And your all of your training is online, or is some of it on site as well?
A lot of it actually is online, but there are definitely companies, for instance, especially government and military and medical companies, they always fly me over here in the United States or in Germany, for instance, or in Australia, where I need to be on site to actually teach a class. But most of the time now with the new technologies for the last few years, like GoToMeeting and GoToWebinar and all these things, it's very easy to actually have 10, 15 people that can see you and you can see them and you can talk to them and you can see your screen. So really the travel thing is really a thing of the past. But for some security reasons, sometimes we have to be on site, and that's not a problem at all.
And how long has Falafel Software been in existence?
10 years. 10 years.
Starting in 2002.
2003, the beginning 2003. Of 2003. So we're getting close here to 10 years. Yeah, so nine years and some.
Well, I didn't mean to catch you in that. I just was thinking about how much .NET has changed in that time.
That's... Oh, wow, yes. I'm coming from the old school. I used to work for a company called Borland. So I was part of the Delphi and C++ teams actually at Borland. And my boss was Anders Helsberg for Delphi. So it was just a pleasure and honor to work for this guy. He's just an incredible genius. So when he moved, of course, to Microsoft, and started the C#. I was there from the beginning, trying to anything he does. Even if he goes sells hot dogs, I'm there.
Well, you've had quite a background working at Borland and working for Anders. That's extraordinary. Can't get a better training ground than that.
I'm very lucky to have actually seen this gentleman at work writing code. A lot of times he made me feel like I should find another job, like maybe selling hot dogs or something, because he is just really good at what he does.
He is indeed. Now, you present at conferences as well. What's the thing that you presented on most recently?
Recently, it has been the Windows Phone 7 and also Silverlight, plus a lot of differentiation between the development of iPhone, Android, and Windows Phone 7. I usually use my Mac machine to show people how to do things in Xcode and then show it in Eclipse, for instance, for Java for Android, and then open up Silverlight and make people feel bad that you're wasting your time, how much easier it is to write code in Visual Studio for Silverlight or the Windows Phone. But again, you cannot ignore the number one people in the market, which is iPhone, right? Now, hopefully, Microsoft will keep pushing that framework to get ahead. It's going to take some time, but I love working with the Windows Phone 7. It's just an elegant way. And if you're a Visual Studio user, it's just so much more productive than anything else available out there.
Can you give us a sense of the difference between building for Windows Phone 7 and building for, say, iPhone or Android?
Well, first of all, the Objective-C language, in the beginning, for instance, if you would have asked me 2 years ago, I would tell you, like, I can't believe people are still writing code at Objective-C. It's like chiseling, you know? But once you get to play with it, and really, I have people here. We have our VP of mobile, Lance Bullock, spends a lot of time in there, and he is actually very comfortable with Objective-C. And he didn't know Objective-C 2 years ago when he started working with it. So once you get past the weird syntax and all that, a lot of people will tell you, for instance, there is a problem with there is no garbage collector. And all that. You know, there is a lot of things in Objective-C that people can definitely find very useful. But I don't find the Xcode as a platform to write your code or manage your project to be as elegant as Visual Studio. It's just, I'm not saying it's bad or anything. I think that Visual Studio is definitely way ahead of its time as far as productivity than anything else.
And Xcode has recently been significantly upgraded.
Oh, yes. The 4 has been really showing up really well. There's a lot of things that has been added for it as far as user interface. They don't have the interface builder anymore. Everything is built into the Xcode itself. So it is definitely getting better. But again, as I said, we are spoiled in the Visual Studio world for the last few years. So it will take them some time to get to that.
Have you gotten a chance to look at the developer preview of Visual Studio 11?
Yes, I do, but I can't, as you know, talk about anything about it because I'm very heavy NDA, whether it's for the MVP summit coming up or for our monthly calls that we have for Microsoft. So unfortunately, with the VSIP program, I can't really talk much about it at all.
Okay, didn't mean to take you down that path then. So what else should we know about Falafel Software and about the work that you're doing?
That we are very passionate about what we do. We love what we do. We have great friends in the industry like yourself, Jesse. And we have been doing this for a long, long time. I personally have been doing this for about 22 years. Falafel has been successful, very successful for the last 10 years. We've been very blessed. And we have customers all over the world, from Australia to Europe to the United States, from medical companies to the Pentagon to a lot of different military operations here in the United States, a lot of Morgan Stanley's and a lot of different Wall Street companies. So we've done it all, whether it's a small project that will take a week or two to finish to something that has been going on for almost 7 years. There are projects that we have been involved with for over 7 years that keep going from phase one to phase two to phase 15. That's been just moving forward with tremendous success. That's why we keep staying on these projects for the long term.